Do you want more time? Do you want more money? Do you want more success? Do you want to really start turning your business into a legacy that you could look back on one day and say, wow, that was pretty cool? Well, tune in for the next 10 minutes to Irene Gutman and Tom Oss's podcast, Work Smarter, Not Harder. Here's our hosts now.
Hi, I'm Irene Gutman with Rockland Webb, a longtime colleague of Tom Ossa. I've been advising him for many years on strategies to grow his companies, and now I want to do it for you. Sign up for one of our free profit discovery sessions. We will look at 10 key areas of your business and uncover hidden or untapped revenue in just 60 minutes. I will find you a bare minimum of $20,000 in increased revenue, and most companies can discover much more over time. To learn more, call Rockland Webb at 845-877-7333 or visit rocklandwebb.com/profit. Bye for now.
Well, I'm excited about our show today.
Yes, me too. It is a pleasure for me to introduce our guest today. So Patricia Stark, I'm going to list a few things. Talk show host on 77 WABC with Positively Ernie and Patricia, Sundays 5 to 6 p.m. Ernie Anastas, I mean, he is a legend of Fox News. I used to watch him all throughout the years. Also, Patricia teaches communication skills, media training, public relations skills, certified executive and personal coach, trained with the CAP Institute in Atlanta, centers around positive psychology. And the really important thing is Patricia focuses on inner psychology first. So if you're looking to be in the spotlight, if you're looking to be a presenter, it's really about what is going on inside first, making sure that those components are right before you go publicly. And also, Patricia is the author of Confidence, C-A-L-M, Confidence, How to Trust Yourself, Tame Your Inner Critic, and Shine in Any Spotlight. Patricia, if I kept on going with all the things that you've done since I know you for, I guess, I forget how many years, that would be the whole podcast. I just want to turn it over to you. It's great to have you on the show. I'm really happy to have you here.
Well, Tom and Irene, thank you so much. I am thrilled to be here. And absolutely, I don't want your viewers running away and turning us off because we're talking too much about some of my background. So thank you for that wonderful introduction. And I'm happy to talk about all of those different things and how, whether it's the radio show or the book or the coaching, how that might be able to help some of your listeners today.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I'd like to start with a question about impact, because I know you, and I know that you are so passionate about making a real impact on people's lives with these tools. What are people like before they work with you? And what are they like afterwards? What are they looking to be like? I want somebody to be able to look in the window and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's different for everybody and everybody comes to me with different needs. What I can tell you is about some of the current people that I'm working with. So I'm currently working with a neurologist who wants to be a media personality, to be an expert out there. She does appear on some of the national shows right now, and she wants to get better. And she really was kind of getting in her own way initially and overthinking things. You know, when you want to put yourself out there and you know that your image and likeness is going to be maybe judged, it's easy to overthink things and get in your own way. And a lot of things that we've been working with is to be really other focused and to think about that viewer and how you're going to be able to help them in their lives in some way. And she has so many great tips and information about a lot of cognitive issues, brain health, all of those things. So we've really flipped the switch on helping her be other focused and kind of letting things go. And this has made it a tremendous difference for her. We're still working together. She just gave me a great video testimonial. And so that's been really eye-opening for her. Another gentleman that I'm working with has been in industry that he's in for many, many years and recently got out of work for any number of reasons and has always gotten work through referrals and through other people. And now he's out there kind of feeling like he's interviewing for the first time ever. And that can really mess with your confidence in many ways, because simply he just had never had to worry about those types of interview skills and dealing with strangers before, because everything was by word of mouth or referral. So, you know, after a certain age, you start to also say, am I getting past my prime here as far as interviewing? How are they going to look at me? There's a lot of self-doubt and things that go along with that. So mm-hmm. I think those are two good examples of really thinking about what is our self-talk going into a situation and what are we visualizing, and how are we taking care of that internal dialogue first, so that when we do have to put ourselves out there in the spotlight, whether it's on camera or an interview, that we are trusting ourselves and really, you know, have our inventory in check so that we can get out of our own way in those situations.
I love what you're saying, because you can hear it when people are speaking. When they are not thinking about themselves and just really passionate about their subject matter, it just comes out differently. You listen differently. The volume is different. The intonations are different. It's night and day. Yes. And often that fear, and like you said, when the camera's on, you can freeze up and it's all about, how am I doing? Oh my gosh, what are they going to think? And when people can get past all that and really just talk about something they really are passionate about, either a job or something you want people to learn, like with a neurologist, it's so powerful. And
it
so
really
it's wonderful
is.
And you're one of the only media coach I know. I know you do personal coaching too. I know you do different types, but you're specifically the only media coach I know. And I think that's fantastic. It's just really exciting and interesting how that all works to me.
Well, I appreciate that. And I have a few network clients right now, that I can't name because I sign non-disclosure agreements with many, but many of them have said to me, you know, we picked you as a media trainer, as a communications coach, because of your confidence angle, because there's a lot of egos, there's a lot of fragile issues, there's a lot of baggage that comes with putting yourself out there and sticking your neck out. And especially these days with people being canceled and people feeling judged, and we don't always play as well together as we used to. A lot of civility issues going on right now, and that can really cause issues with that whole internal dialogue that I'm talking about. So, you know, building that inner trust and that confidence, whatever communication situation you're going to be in, is really important. And I always tell people, all speaking is public speaking unless you're sitting in a room by yourself talking to yourself. So this has an impact on anyone who is outward focused in their job, in their community. You don't have to be that public speaker on stage or that person going on television. You could be on Zoom. You could be dealing with tough personalities in the office, even family members. And just all of that communication stems from how you're preparing your inner state of calm and confidence before you walk into any one of those situations.
Would you say, generally speaking, we spoke a little bit before we hopped on the recording, and you and Irene were talking, and you mentioned that sometimes people just need a bit of a refresher. You do a lot of one-on-ones, a lot of group trainings. Do you find that people that are looking for just a reboot, if you will, mm-hmm. trying to get a refresher, do you also help people that are seasoned media personalities and they just need someone to listen to, empathize, and also give some pointers?
Yeah, absolutely. You would be amazed at how many times I've heard from people that have been on air for many years that they don't get feedback. The feedback is they either keep their job or they've lost their job.
Yeah.
And many times they don't get that feedback and they just want a sounding board. They just want to run something by somebody, or they could be reinforcing bad habits that people just don't tell them about. And even CEOs, I've had so many people tell me that a CEO or a C-level executive needs help, but everybody's tiptoeing around them. Everybody's afraid to tell them that they've got habits that aren't so great. But nobody wants to be the person to let them know this. So for a reboot or a refresh, what I would say is that oftentimes we don't take the time to do a personal inventory. So many times we are just going about the business of work, making a living, raising a family, juggling all of these things. And it's easy to remember the bad times. It's easy to remember when something happened that was a perceived failure or something negative. Those stand out like, you know, if you're on Broadway and you get all these great feedback things, but you get that one critic that lambastes you, and that's all the actor or actor focuses on. So what we need to do, especially when we are in a moment where we want to tap into resilience or grit or recover from a loss or a setback, write down all the good things. Try to remember, you know, your resume is more than just those line items. It's the successes. It's the positive emails. It's the cards. It's the moments where people reached out to you and said you made a difference. So, you know, I'll recommend keep a file. I have a file in my drawer of just different letters or emails or anytime that people said to me, hey, you helped me. You made a difference in my life. You helped me succeed or overcome this confidence or this obstacle that I had, or what. I keep filling that folder, because even though I might have written a book on calm and confidence, you better believe I still have bad moments and tough days and self-doubt and all those things. And there's many times that I go to that folder and remember who I am and what I've done, and not to pat myself on the back, but just to remember my value and what I have done and what's been important to me in helping others. And that really has made a difference at some of my lower moments.
I can definitely relate to that, especially several years ago on our one of our Facebook groups. The North Rockland community has about 25,000 members on it. And several years ago, we made, and I'll say it was a failed attempt at creating an advertising program for the local businesses around here. We planned it for several months. I spoke with several of the administrators about it. The other administrators are great, but one of them kind of deployed the advertising a little bit sooner than I expected. And they all ganged up on him. Oh, this is an outrage. How could you do this? And I stepped in between the administrator and the community. And I got lambasted. I think that's the proper word on this podcast. I got lambasted. And it took a while to recover. I did not feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. So taking a personal inventory, I completely agree with you, was very helpful over the ensuing years to get my confidence back. Irene, you were going to say something?
Yeah, no, I want to say thank you, because I have to give a talk in front of a couple hundred women in May. And it's and I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm the right match for this talk. But then if I think about why they asked me to speak, what I bring to the table, I can stop focusing on me and just get those messages out.
That's beautiful.
They asked me. So
there's a reason they're asking you, right? There's a reason they think that you should be there. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with us feeling that way, because it keeps us humble. It keeps us kind of in check of, all right, what due diligence do I want to do to prepare ahead of time so that I make sure that I give a good talk, or that I can be of service, and that I can give good value? And if we didn't second guess that, and I don't know if I'm going to remember the right quote here, but somebody recently said to me that, you know, really good leaders question themselves all the time. Bad leaders question others all the time. So it's like to question ourselves, to make sure that we do that due diligence, so that we do have a lot more to offer, and that we do care, that we care to do that self-check when we are out there trying to give something away to other people, I think is a wonderful sign of who you are as a person.
You know, some of the, I love what you're saying. One of the biggest things that helped me step out in the spotlight was when I was in high school and I was going to my first school dance. I was really nervous. And my aunt said to me, I mean, all those people in that room, do you think they're all thinking about you? Mm-hmm. What do you think they're thinking about? I said, oh my gosh, no, they're thinking about themselves and how they're doing and how they look on the dance floor. They're probably just as nervous as me. She goes, yes.
Yeah.
I said, okay. And I stopped taking myself so seriously. And I started putting myself out there more. Mm-hmm. But in terms of preparation, yeah, I like that. It's definitely appropriate.
It's so true. You know, nobody's hanging on our every. I don't think anyone is that amazing that anyone is hanging on anyone's every word. And we are all got that internal dialogue of, okay, I got to go home and pick up milk. I just got in a fight with my spouse. I'm worried about my child. You know, no one is 100% engaged. We're all taking mental exits at different times because we are all juggling so many things. And there are all so many different dimensions to our lives that are happening at any one moment. So, you know, as a speaker, you know, getting up there first, I think if we are always thinking about what's in it for them, how do I make this be about them and not me? How do I pull them in with those moments? It really will resonate with people. And then to also know that, you know, they just want to know that we're a human being and that we're there having a conversation with them. I think that the worst, you know, kind of feedback I could ever get from anybody is, oh, what a great speaker that person was. Really? That sounds kind of empty to me. I'd rather hear, wow, you really gave me something that I can use in my life. You really inspired me to take action. Like, that's the kind of feedback. I don't need to hear that I was a perfect, flawless speaker that made this big orator speech out there. You know, that's pretty empty to me at this point. I want to know, wow, I felt like you really cared and you were human and approachable. And I didn't mind that you stumbled or lost your spot for a minute or made a mistake, because what I really felt was how much you cared.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so true.
There was, I play in a few different bands and music wise and such. And I had the opportunity about 6 months ago, we did a tribute for a few of our friends that passed away prematurely. And they're also musicians. So four of us, we hopped on stage. Guitarist is unbelievably talented. I mean, off the charts. He's actually playing in some pretty regionally well-known bands. And we hopped on, and I made a little tiny mistake at the end of the first measure. And right afterwards, he made a little tiny mistake. So we both turned to each other on stage and we just like laughed, like, it happens. And then the rest of the time, I mean, we all gelled as a group. It's like we all recognize that we're not 100% perfect. And that helped to take the edge off of the rest of the performance.
I love it. You know what? Do we really like perfect people anyway? I don't think so.
No, they get on our nerves. So wait, I have a question. Might have a simple answer, but is there like when people are really in their own way and they're in their own heads and they're spinning around, and it has to do with performance of some sort? You know, a guy leading a big meeting for his company or a media situation. Is the sabotaging thought similar with most people, or is there a whole variety of sabotaging thoughts that they're struggling with?
I think there's a variety, and I think it depends on a person, their upbringing, their background, the events that have shaped them when it comes to communication situations. I think a lot of people have imposter syndrome. Some people might have not gotten the best advice on their value and their confidence from their parents or from coaches or teachers or bosses over the years. Some people could simply just be more mild-mannered and not really introverts or extroverts. You know, there's that, all of that in the mix. And it could be a bad day. It could be hormonal, depending on people's parts of their lives, whether they just had a child or they're at one end of the spectrum or the other. It can be also what's going on in your personal life. Are there money issues right now? Are there worries about children? You know, all of these things, whether we like to try to think we can leave them behind the door before we walk in, are all taking a toll on us, as is our lack of sleep, our self-care, what's going on with that. So, you know, we're taking care of aging parents. You know, there's so many things that we show up with that are baggage that are just part of our lives that are connected to us. So I think that many times it can be, how do we kind of snap ourselves out of that? And how do we snap ourselves into just being in this moment and trying to chunk things down and catch our breaths and then do that exhale, get that release, and visualize and seeing ourselves doing well and forgetting about judgment, trying to wrap our mind around the idea of my opinion of myself has to be more important than the opinion of others. And if I know that I've done my homework and I know that I'm here for a good reason, that I have something of value to offer today, and I'm showing up to do something that will hopefully benefit people. And that's not always easy if you're assigned a speech or you're going through the motions at a job you don't really like, you don't speak every so often, and you're still not desensitized to it. So one thing that I've offered sometimes to people that really are struggling with this is a trick that I'll use for myself when I've gotten myself all worked up, is taking that breath, getting control of your breath, really kind of pushing out with that exhale any bad images, any negative stories, kind of excise it from your body and your mind, and try to get a hold, because if you can get control of your breathing, you have more control over something that you can control in the situation. And most of the time, there's not a lot you can control. But this is going to sound morbid in a way, but a trick that I would use on myself over the years is, okay, how bad is this situation really right now? And I'm going to visualize myself being at the deathbed of a loved one, someone I really care about, somebody I don't want to lose. And I'm going to sit with that for a minute. And I'm going to say to myself, would I rather be dealing with that right now or this situation right now? And suddenly this situation doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal or worth that high of a price when I think of where I could be right now.
Yep. Wow. Worst case scenarios. I actually liken that to on the humor side of things. On the classic show, The Honeymooners, there's this episode where Ralph is worried about his tax audit. And Norton stands over him. He goes, what's the worst thing that could happen? You know, are they going to do this, that, or the other to you? And he goes, thanks, Norton. I really appreciate that. He walks into the next room and he yells out to Ralph. He's like, yeah, the worst thing they could do is send you to the federal pen. And you know, just going back to the confidence book, if I can bring it to that part of our conversation now, I got a chance to download your confidence 15 things people with confidence do differently. And by the way, those of you that are listening right now, you could get a free copy of this if you go to patriciastark.com. You scroll down a little bit, you click on the download link, you can pick it up right there. And item two on here is really interesting. And it's something that I do from time to time. It's considered a negative thing sometimes, but it's actually a positive thing. They compartmentalize. And I think it's that type of, if you will, inner psychology strategy is, if it's used properly, it's great. If it's used wrongly, it could be dangerous because we can't compartmentalize all the things in our lives. But how do you relate compartmentalization, especially when you got right in front of you a very, very tense or potentially anxiety-inducing media appearance? How does compartmentalization come into it?
Mm-hmm. Well, the root of that compartmentalizing kind of strategy I had found initially in a very old book by Dale Carnegie called How to Stop Worrying and How to Start Living. Mm-hmm. And his idea was that the reason that people get overwhelmed is because they try to deal with yesterday, today, and tomorrow simultaneously. And that's too much for any human being to bear. And that's usually when we get overwhelmed, worrying about what happened, worrying about what's about to happen, and worrying about what's going on right in the very moment in front of us. So I'll have many clients and students that will literally die 1,000 deaths for about a week or two leading up to a speech or leading up to a media appearance or a big interview. And they're living it in their mind over and over, but always in a negative way. They're seeing what can go wrong. They're worrying about, they're seeing themselves fail. They're seeing themselves being judged. So by the time they get to the real event, they're not only exhausted, but they've completely conditioned their subconscious to things going badly. So when I talk to them about compartmentalizing, I will say, if you want to worry about something, try to make time for it. And then while you're worrying about it, be proactive and say, how can I do something to be better prepared for this moment? What actions can I take? How can I calm myself and see things going better and see things going the way that I want them to see? And if this is now happening right prior to a situation. And I'll give you a great example of this. I do a lot on camera still for some of this continuing medical education for medical and health care. So I will do these live broadcasts that will only be for the medical community, where I will be interviewing doctors and we'll be talking about new modalities or new drugs and different things. And I'm not a doctor, but I've been doing this for many years, and I will now be handed all of this verbiage and new names of things that I've never heard before. And this is like learning a foreign language. And a lot of it I know because I've been doing this for so long, but there's always something new. And especially when it comes to pharmacological pills and new treatments, they're making these names up based on root names. So I will get myself, I can get myself really worked up about saying these live on the air, because I never want to sound like the hired help, which I am, but I want to sound like I belong there and I'm a good facilitator and I've done my homework. So in the moment, if this happens, like let's say the time has passed, like a speaker that hasn't spoken a while, what I will do when I start to feel that body, that physical reaction, and I start to have those negative worries and those thoughts, is I will remove myself from the situation for a minute. I'll go into the restroom. I'll go behind a corner. I'll do my deep breathing. I'll get control of my breathing. Yep. And then I'll say, you know what you're doing right now. You're worrying, which means you're seeing yourself screw these words up. You're seeing yourself not do well on live television. And I will talk myself through saying, you know what? You've done this a bunch of times. You're going to take your time. You're going to say these words the best that you can. And no one's going to die if you mispronounce a word for a second. You're going to be professional in every other way. And if you don't have those moments, everybody knows you're not a doctor. So I will talk. Now, this is when I will call on my inner coach to silence my inner critic, because studies have shown you cannot listen to both simultaneously. But I have to take the reins here, and I have to watch, who am I giving that internal microphone to? And I want to control the movies in my mind. I want to control that internal director and that internal microphone and my breath. And then I will walk back into the situation. And by the way, you can do all of this in about 60 seconds. This does not have to take long to do this if you know that you have to do it and you must do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the techniques you're talking about, I teach some people, and it actually helps them switch from the one main brain pathway to the other. And they switch away from the one that has all the negative emotions to the one that has the positive emotions. And that's where everything opens up. Mm-hmm. You know, possibilities, being in the moment, focusing, being present, and all those good things. Yes. So when you're talking about your techniques, I'm like, I bet that's happening. Because it sounds really like you're flipping a switch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 100%.
This has been wonderful. Patricia,
we
both appreciate that you've taken the time to be with us today.
Can I say one thing? I know we're out of time, but I didn't want to let this end without mentioning why we're doing the new show with Ernie Anastas on 77 WABC, Positive Ernie and Patricia. We really want this to be a respite on a Sunday night before launching into a new week, where you can recharge your batteries, hear something positive. We do positive interviews, and we talk about these strategies. And we talked about confidence on the last episode, and we had people calling in and giving us their ways that they find their confidence and ways that they mentor other people. So there's life skills in there, there's skills for business, but it is all to get you in a more positive mindset leading into another work week or another family week, but just to start the week off right with more optimistic view and a more positive view.
Can you repeat the where people can find you?
Sure. Yeah. So that's on 77 WABC on your radio in New York. If you're outside of the tri-state area, 77 WABCradio.com. You can download the app. You can find that anywhere in the world. And then to reach me, patriciastark.com or confidencebook.com. And the book is available in Barnes & Noble, on Amazon. And it was just translated into both Chinese and into Polish. So it's great to, I got a chuckle out of seeing my book in two versions that I cannot read myself.
Right. Well, that's great, because I mean, especially over the next 10 years, we're going to need some calm in international relations.
Yes.
And just a testimonial from Ernie Anastas. And again, Emmy award-winning TV news anchor, Fox News, many different. So what he said about confidence, the book, a priceless leadership course. In my view, confidence is the best way to improve your communication skills with powerful techniques and great style.
Well, thank Ernie again. He is a dear friend, and I was very lucky that he was offering to do a testimonial for my book. That was really a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Patricia, please keep us posted this year as you travel through 2023.
Thank you.
We'll be And
people can reach me at patricia@patriciastark.com. I, even though with the radio show and the book and all these things, I'm still doing Zoom and in-person meeting, whether it's one-on-one with individuals or coming into group settings. I am accessible. I'm here. I want to help. And I would be thrilled for anyone who wants to inquire.
Okay, great. Patricia Stark from Patricia Stark Communications. PatriciaStark.com. Thank you for being on the show today. And we'll see you all once again for another episode of Work Smarter, Not Harder.
Thank you both again for the opportunity. Take care.
Thank you. Bye, guys. This is fun.
Hey, if you want to take your project management and collaboration skills to the next level in your company, check out Basecamp.com. We've been using it for about 5 years and we love it. The whole team is on it. Not only do you get to collaborate with your team and with clients, you can also store documents per project. You can chat online with your clients and colleagues. It's just a great tool. Check it out at Basecamp.com. Hey, if you want to take your project management and collaboration skills to the next level in your company, check out Basecamp.com. We've been using it for about 5 years and we love it. The whole team is on it. Not only do you get to collaborate with your team and with clients, you can also store documents per project. You can chat online with your clients and colleagues. It's just a great tool. Check it out at Basecamp.com.